Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Welcome to E-Ticket to Broadway, where Broadway meets Main Street. Here's your host, my pal, David Alpert.
Welcome to the 18th episode of E-Ticket to Broadway, where you and your fellow listeners are the only people to notice and celebrate the show tunes when you walk down Main Street. I hope this podcast has made you feel closer to both Broadway and the parks, and that it brings you joy. Please take a moment to follow the podcast on Instagram and consider becoming a supporter on Patreon to help support yours truly and also Gilana's Fund, helping to make the world a more accepting and inclusive place to be. I had a blast recording this episode with a fellow Disneyland cast member from the summer of 2005. After our time together at The Happiest Place on Earth, he went on to star on Broadway in the original cast of Waitress with other E-Ticket guests like Jesse Mueller, Kayla Settle, and Eric Anderson, and also appeared on Broadway in Jersey Boys and On a Clear Day You Can See Forever. Double check to make sure your mouse ears are securely fastened and get ready for Drew Gehling. Drew, thank you so much for joining. You know, we met 6 years ago, but only just learned that we both worked at Disneyland the exact same summer.
I know, it's pretty eerie. It's pretty eerie, the coincidence there.
But thank you for joining on the podcast. So, Drew, you're from North Carolina. Did you go to Disney World a lot as a kid?
Yeah, I was born in North Carolina, but I spent the really early formative years living down in Southern Florida. My family lived in Fort Lauderdale, and so understandably, then Disney World is a pretty integral part of everyone's life down there. It's close, it's accessible, it's a part of the fabric of things that you do when it's not unbearably hot outside, and sometimes even when it is unbearably hot outside. So I went to Disney World pretty regularly as a kid, but had never gone to Disneyland until I worked there.
And I know this and I love it so much, but what did you do when you worked at Disneyland?
It's really kind of crazy to
was it on a ride or
in hindsight, it would have been kind of great to have been on a ride, because I feel like I never would have ever gotten sick of being on a ride. Not that I got sick of my job either, because it was so quick, but I feel like being on a ride, you get that adrenaline rush kind of secondhand from the people who are on the ride, you know, because you're just kind of watching these faces of people just totally gobsmacked as they get off, and you're like, nice, that's my day. I played Prince Charming and the Huntsman, depending on what time you came to the performance, in Snow White, an Enchanting Musical at the Fantasyland Theater.
That's crazy.
Isn't that nuts?
And it is nuts. And I saw the show, I think, the summer of maybe 2004. So before you were in it. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. I mean, my favorite movie of the Disney catalog is Snow White, and my favorite character is from the movie. And it was so fun. Mm-hmm. Did you get a chance to see it before you went into it, or you just kind of rehearsed and went in?
Yeah. It was weird because by that point, I want to say it had been open for about a year, and shows at Disneyland worked a lot like Broadway shows did, in that there was definitely a machine. Whether or not you were there, the show was happening. So there was always a chance to kind of, and they really encouraged us going in and watching the show happen to just kind of get a feel for genuinely how hot it is in the theater and how many kids in the audience are screaming and making noise, or just how loud it is and what it sounds like when the train goes by, because the train would go by like clockwork. Yeah. And it just kind of, in all of these cases, it was like, just keep going, just get through the show. So I had seen it a couple of times, but hadn't but had no idea what I was really in for until I strapped on the many layers of leather and rug in order to be on stage in it.
Which was more distracting, the Disneyland Railroad or the ACE train under the Brooks Atkinson?
You know what? We didn't hear the ACE at the Brooks that often.
You didn't?
Yeah. I don't know what they've done. Somehow that theater is safe. However, I was doing a pretty raucous musical, so the quiet moments were pretty few and far between. So it may have been really loud and I just didn't notice it, but it was nothing like when you're at, if you've ever seen a show at the Lucille Lortel Theater down on Christopher Street, you can hear the PATH train, the one train. I mean, and it just shakes the whole building.
The public?
Yeah.
Like if you're doing a show at Joe's Pub, that train shakes the building.
Oh yeah. It rattles the ice in the glasses.
What was the audition process like for Snow White, an Enchanting musical?
Well, I tell you, Dave Clemens, who was the casting director for the project at the time, brought me in because he had just come to Carnegie Mellon and visited in as a, you know, a casting director. A lot of times, you know, the musical theater programs and acting programs across the country will bring in casting directors to kind of just give the current students a taste of what it's like to audition for somebody. And so he came in and had auditioned all of us, or essentially just said, sing your 16 bar cut. And so I sang my cut or whatever, and he was like, hey, I think you might be right for this thing. If you're interested in moving to Los Angeles, like, would you want to come in and audition for this job? It pays pretty well. And I was like, at the time, I mean, I was 21, so I was like, sure, yeah, I'm in, sign me up, dude. So
and the Prince, how long, I mean, was the Prince in the show a lot? I mean, in the movie he's barely on screen.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, the man just shows up and falls in love with Snow White. You know, he hears the song, you know, he's into it. And from there, he's on a nonstop train to win her back after never having gotten her in the first place. Wonderful, wonderful story. All the Gregory Maguire books had just kind of come out at the time. So people, the real purists in our midst were very much into it. But I had auditioned in New York, and he pretty much just called the next day and was like, hey, they want to offer you this gig. Would you be willing to do it? And I said, at the time, he was like, frankly, you'll go to LA and be there for a couple of months. And if you like it, you could stay. And if not, then you can come back to New York. And it turned out that the show didn't run past the summer of 2005. So when we finished at the end of the summer, they essentially shut down the show and they were going to bring it back for the following summer for everybody that was still in town. But I didn't end up staying in town. So I didn't come back for the following summer, but a lot of people did.
Do you remember any of your lines as the huntsman?
Oh gosh. Yes, my queen.
That's good.
Yeah. That I think that's going to come across the radio really well.
Yeah. We'll use that as a sound clip to advertise this
episode. I'm going to do it again just so we get it nice and clean. All right. Yes, my queen.
Ooh, that's good. Yeah. Because I strongly feel that the huntsman is a pivotal role in Snow White. If he doesn't make that moral decision to not kill her, curtain.
True.
There it is.
True. And you know what? The kids need to see that you know, it's not always going to be clean cut and easy. It's, you know, there's some moral quandaries in there. And also, I mean, honestly, it was way more fun to be the huntsman than to be the prince because, you know, you're just kind of, as the prince, you're just, you know, you come on, you're singing your songs, and you got a little bit of an arc. However, the huntsman shows up, arc complete. He gets given the task. He goes from being a servant of the queen to being a sympathizer with Snow White, and that is the extent of his journey. Then he's gone. He's like, I'm done. We don't see him again.
We don't. And what's funny is, like, you know that he puts like a pig's heart in the box.
Oh yeah.
Do you think that, like, what happens? Like, what's act two for the Huntsman? Does he get a new job?
No, he gets out of town. I think he flees the country. You know, he can't. He does what he's asked to do. But, like, I don't feel like the Queen keeps the Huntsman on retainer. You know,
yeah,
that guy just gets gigs as they come. And I think that he just found himself in a little over his head at this point. Being a huntsman doesn't mean a hunter of men.
What was that show, like, the Bounty Hunter? Like, let's revive the Bounty Hunter show.
Dog the Bounty Huntsman. Hunter? Oh, yeah. God. Yeah.
But I think going to that, like, the only characters in Snow White that have that arc are Grumpy and the Huntsman. Everyone mm-hmm. else kind of stay consistent.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you have a favorite dwarf?
Honestly, yeah. Sneezy is by far the best dwarf. That guy has some savage hay fever. It seems like maybe a mine is not the best place for him to work, or in a house that's constantly full of dust. And then to combine off of that, all these animals come in from the woods. They clean up the house. I mean, it's going to be worse. I mean, he's got to be allergic to some kind of dander. I mean, this guy's got some serious problems. But you know what? Always a smile on his face. He could be the grumpy one, but he's not. Instead, Grumpy is grumpy just for Grumpy's sake, you know? Who hurt him so bad? Who hurt Grumpy so bad? That's the story I want to
hear. Really wise. Yeah, that's good. I'm ready to create this spin-off series of every character in Snow White with you.
Oh, yeah.
But you have to play every role. That's the only...
Yeah, it'll be a real Rick and Morty kind of situation, you know, like Justin Roiland style. I'll just be all of the characters. I think Dopey will be the biggest challenge because that's just an animator's dream.
But Dopey not only is my favorite dwarf, he's my favorite Disney character. Just love him so much.
Explain why it's Dopey. You got to clarify this.
No, because for Dopey, he's everything I'm not. He's just so optimistic and happy and never has any problem with anything. He's just happy to be there. And I just... admire him for that he's just consistently happy. And when the dwarfs are like, dude, you're the one that has to go see the monster upstairs, he's like, okay, he does it.
He's like, me? Oh yeah, yeah, he's chaplain. He's their chaplain.
He is their chaplain. And actually, I remember watching a Marx Brothers movie earlier this year. I think it was Duck Soup. Is that it?
Yeah.
And I was watching with my friend Nick, and I was like, gosh, that character really reminds me of Dopey. And then I did my research and was like, Walt actually based Dopey off of that character.
Really?
Yeah. It's crazy.
Incredible.
So, you know, it's funny. I always think, like, did we pass each other at a Denny's or on the cash shuttle? But we didn't really meet until years later and didn't even put it together we worked at Disney until this past January at BroadwayCon.
Bizarre, because the thing is, you know, we probably took the tram together. We probably took that tram. Parked in the same lot.
Yep. Well, I walked. I didn't have a car.
To clock in time. You didn't have a car when you were there.
Yeah, I was a local. I was a local.
Nice.
So you said, Drew, that going to Disneyland, the first time you went there was when you got the job. Do you have any, what do you remember from your first trip? And as if you do say that the castle was small, I will hang up.
Oh, come on. We all know the castle is small. The castle is small, you know?
But it's real stone.
It's real stone. And you cannot, and you can't replicate the original. You know what I mean? It is the OG for all time. The thing that really struck me was because of the lack of space that they had on the property, you can see that the care and energy that was put into the best use of space possible. And I think the best example of this is Fantasmic. Because
1,000%.
Because and you can say the fireworks are great. The fireworks are always great. World of Color, great, also great. It was built for the space, you know what I mean? But the idea that you can go out on Tom Sawyer's Island and you can dine at the Blue Bayou and then ride Pirates of the Caribbean and come outside and without even realizing it, all of a sudden the lights go down and an entire show complete with pyrotechnics, fireworks, flames on the lake just happens in a place that not 2 hours before looked completely innocuous, and they were running the ships on like that. It's,
I know,
it's magic. It's actually
that is
magic.
Total magic.
And to the point where, I mean, almost every day, if people came to see me in the show, because a lot of my buddies like that I had gone to school with had, that moved to LA were like, oh man, you can sign us in. And I'm like, yeah. I can sign you in. And they were like, we're going to Disneyland. And they would come and I would say, just stay. As soon as I'm done, we'll go. And we would always get VIP seats for Fantasmic. And I watched it dozens of times. I just loved it.
It just celebrated an anniversary, and it's truly was my favorite show at Disneyland. And, you know, they just updated a few years ago, and I'm not a fan of the new one.
Oh,
and
interesting.
Offline, I'll share my dramaturgical reasons why I prefer the original.
Copy that.
I mean, but hashtag bring back Peter Pan.
Hashtag bring back Peter Pan. That's a weird choice.
I just feel like, and I do want to work for Disney, so Disney, if you're listening, forgive me. I just feel like the villains haven't taken over yet, and Captain Hook doesn't strike us as a scary villain, but on Pirates, when there's like zombies and skulls and you're like, what's this compass thing? I just lose the story, and I just feel like,
oh yeah,
Peter Pan is so classic.
Yeah. And Captain Hook is such a purely driven villain with very clear hubris. You know what I mean?
Yes, totally.
You totally see both him and his greatest weakness in one package.
And also, if you're going to remove Snow White, which is not cool, it's not Rapunzel, and I love that song. But when you remove Snow White from the princess section, it doesn't quite make sense going into the Evil Queen.
Oh.
It's just a little bizarre. Anyway,
oh yeah,
more on that.
I get that segue. Also, the Evil Queen from Snow White, to this day, might be the most terrifying villain transformation.
Oh, yes.
She was horrifying.
She was.
She
and that ride,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
They're changing the ride so it's not as terrifying.
Really?
Do you know this?
I didn't know this.
Yeah, they're updating it. They're changing a few scenes so that it's not so freaking terrifying.
Wow.
I mean, it was terrifying as a kid, and now when I go on it as an adult, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm just playing pretend that I'm scared. But that witch, I mean, she comes at your boat, or your, excuse me, she comes at your mine car a lot in that
ride. Yeah, she's spooky. On that same note, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride could not get any better. I love Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. That thing, it's unstoppable. It's just out of control. And you're like, this morally, I don't even know what is going on here.
Yeah, but I don't think anyone quite knows.
But it's so weird to see as other stuff gets updated and altered and kind of modernized, as it were. Mr. Toad's Wild Ride stays right there in the time where Mr. Toad goes to hell.
He goes to hell.
He goes to hell.
And like, it's that moment when you're in the queue and you see like the ceiling fan on the exit part of the ride, and you're like, why is there a ceiling fan right there? And then when you're on the ride and you get through like the smoke and the heat, you're like, oh, that's why there's a ceiling fan.
Yeah.
It's to clear the air. I mean, it is some crazy stuff. Drew, now that Disney owns Star Wars, I know that you're a Star Wars fan. Have you been to Galaxy's Edge?
Yeah, I went to Galaxy's Edge over the summer when I was doing Almost Famous down at the Old Globe. And one of the women who was in the show, she and her fiance did the Disney Cruise Line. And so we had our in, you know what I mean? Because for you and I don't know if you still have a lot of buddies that still work at Disneyland, but I was kind of stuck. The only people that I really knew really well were also in Snow White with me. And when Snow White closed, it was hard to kind of, you know, everybody kind of was scattered to the wind and ended up all over the place. But that being said, I still see and work with constantly people from the Snow White days, like Squiggs. Squiggs was a dwarf, and
I had no idea.
Yeah, and now constantly, you know, has done illustrations of every Broadway show for the past decade and a half.
I mean, yeah, the man's, his work is great,
wildly prolific, and is really, him and Ken Fallon are making a run to just be the new Hirschfeld, essentially. Like, the stuff that he comes up with is so character driven, and it's just like one of my biggest points of pride is when Squiggs draws you for something and you're like, oh, this is great. But to your question about Galaxy's Edge, I went over the summer, and I gotta say that the minute we like crossed under the little tunnel way that, you know, their means of kind of separating it from the rest of the park, and kind of came above ground, Kylo Ren walked by with like an entire bevy of stormtroopers, and I just burst into tears. Isn't that, it's really kind of weird, but they were somehow in this particular case, and maybe it was just how much I'd been looking forward to it and hadn't gotten the chance to go right when it opened, but it's like it was made for us, a bunch of like young millennials that finally get to live Star Wars in a place. I mean, because they had always had Star Tours, and I loved Star Tours forever. I actually have not ridden the revamped version of Star Tours.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've only ever gotten to go on the original, you know, which I loved. But this was something else. I got blue milk. I got green milk. I like the blue milk better. I did not manufacture my own lightsaber. Because it was so early in the day and I didn't want to have to carry it around all day.
Sure. Because though, you know, you can have Disney merch hold your stuff.
Oh, they can? Oh, that's,
yeah,
good to know.
Yeah, it's Disney.
That's true.
You know, I'm not a Star Wars fan. I'm actually watching the movies now for the first time. And my favorite thing about watching the movies is recognizing that music from Star Tours.
I do not believe that you have not,
I know,
seen the movies.
I'm catching up. But I'll tell you, when they announced Galaxy's Edge, I was confused. I was like, that's a third park or a third gate, excuse me. That doesn't quite, I don't want them to change Disneyland, but Disney released this film of Star Wars fans going to Galaxy's Edge right before it opened. And I was so moved by exactly what you're saying, yeah, that the fandom for Star Wars loved it so much that I was like, okay, I get it.
And they did something with the Smuggler's Run ride that was just, it's like they zeroed in on the idea that what is the one thing that every Star Wars fan has done, and it is picture yourself on the Millennium Falcon.
Right.
And the great thing about the waiting area on that ride is that, I mean, you can push all the buttons. You are on the set. You are on the Millennium Falcon. Like, you are getting ready to pilot it yourself. And it just captures the imagination so spectacularly in a way that, I mean, let's be honest, all of their rides really do. And this just, for them to kind of lend their expertise to something that I've always wanted, I mean, selfishly, was just great.
What job do you think Dr. Pomeder would have if he worked in the parks?
Probably a park medic.
Sure.
You know,
have you ever been there and had to see one of them?
No, but I remember hearing, do you remember the traditions class?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, I hope we're not airing out any dirty laundry here, because, well, no, this
no,
is all
traditions is well known.
This is, yeah, this is all positive stuff too. You know, it's the details of, there are no lost children, there are lost parents.
Sure.
And, you know, that's the kind of stuff that I always liked. I think Dr. P would be a medic just because you would think that you'd want him as like a greeter or something, but I don't think that would be his cup of tea. I think he might be a little overwhelmed by the guests.
Yeah. I remember, speaking of traditions, there was, you know, they talk that even though there's a Mickey in Fantasmic, and then you see Mickey in the parade, and you might see Mickey in Toontown, there's only one Mickey, which is true. And I remember in traditions, we were all like, yeah, of course, ha, ha, ha. And at the end of the day, they were like, okay, you're almost a cast member. You just need your name tag and here to present. And the curtain opened and it was Mickey holding our name tags. And we all lost our minds. We were like, oh my gosh, it's Mickey Mouse. And we were so excited. And
but they give you the magic. That's part of what they, and then they're like, and now you're in on it. Like you're a part of it.
Yeah.
In San Diego this summer, all of our crew guys at the Old Globe were wildly, wildly crazy collectors of the pins.
Oh, sure.
Like these just massive pin collections that they would bring in and wear these sashes backstage with pins that would just catch all the light and be visible.
Right.
It was great. That kind of element of magic is, it's just one of the best parts about it. There's something for everyone to enjoy.
Do you have a favorite ride?
I would say it genuinely depends on what day you ask me, because I really like, I mean, Space Mountain was and always will be the first roller coaster that I've ever been on, and is the coaster by which I compare every other coaster in the world. Experience from like waiting in the line to riding it, and my, you know, weird memory of riding it with my father for the first time when I was super, super little, and, you know, and experiencing that ride as it's changed over the years and has been wonderful. I love that. I love that ride.
Have you been on Space with the Star Wars overlay?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
or Ghost Galaxy?
Is that everywhere or is that just at Disneyland?
I don't know, because I've only been to Disney World twice.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. See, my girlfriend's only been to Disney World once, and it was when she was super, super young. So, like, my daughter and I are like, as soon as we can, we're like, we have to, she has to come to Disney World, because it's just so, it's so massive.
Oh, Phooey, we'll be right back. Oh, what's the big idea with these commercials? Oh, what's this one?
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSMusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
It's time for Fast Pass Answers.
Okay, Drew, so this is Fast Pass Answers. After I ask you the first question, I'm going to put 30 seconds on the clock. Okay, so whatever comes to mind, shoot out the answer. Cool?
Okay.
You ready?
Cool. Go.
Okay, Drew, name a song from Snow White.
One song.
Favorite snack in the parks?
Churros.
Favorite Disney movie?
Treasure Planet.
Name a ride in Fantasyland.
Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Favorite Broadway musical?
City of Angels.
Name an actress to play Jenna on Broadway.
Shoshana Bean.
Favorite Pixar movie? Time. I'll let you answer.
Favorite Pixar movie would be Bug's Life.
Bold.
I love Bug's Life.
You had some really bold answers. Treasure Planet.
Treasure Planet. It was either going to be Treasure Planet or The Black Hole. Have you seen The Black Hole?
I have not.
That's a deep cut. That's like 1979.
Not Black Cauldron.
No, The Black Hole. Live action.
No idea.
Spooky.
That'll be our next podcast.
Hmm. We talk about just like deep cut Disney movies. Yeah. Like Darby O'Gill and the Little People.
Yeah. You did very well, Drew. Well done.
Ooh.
That was exciting.
I'm like, I'm a little like shaking from a...
There's been like meltdowns.
People get caught up on... But yeah, because it's not... A lot of them are just... It's fine until suddenly you're like, favorite Broadway musical. And I'm like, that's a huge field.
What did you say?
City of Angels.
Oh, yes.
Put on your thinking ears. It's trivia time. Oh, boy.
So clearly there's a theme to this episode, which is Snow White, because you mentioned it earlier, but Dopey truly is my favorite character.
Oh, yeah. He's a piece of work.
My apartment is...
It's jam-packed with Dopey characters.
There's a lot of Dopey.
Dopey swag.
I just love it because, dude, I love how you view life. Like, how do you handle anxiety?
He wears green.
He wears green. I wear green sometimes, but... Okay, so, Drew, here is your trivia, and because we're talking about Snow White, we're going to stay in that lane. So the voice of Snow White, Adriana Caselotti, gave voice to another classic movie released just 2 years after Snow White in 1939. In which movie can you hear her voice?
I don't know. I know how she got the part as Snow White, but I don't know who. I don't know.
This is some deep trivia that I love.
Oh,
so,
give it to me.
Well, can you name a really very famous cult movie that came out in 1939?
Would it be like, not like Casablanca?
No, but you're like hovering in the same world.
Oh, 1939.
So I'll tell you, like, Gone with the Wind was around the same time, but like Family, MGM, big ol' musical, one of the most famous movies.
Well, okay, where does it take place?
Well, in two places. One in the middle of America, and then in a fantasy land.
She's not in The Wizard of Oz.
Oh,
is she in The Wizard of Oz?
She's in The Wizard of Oz. She's uncredited.
Is she one of the Munchkins?
She's not. But in the song, If I Only Had a Heart, the Tin Man sings, Wherefore Art Thou? Or, excuse me.
Wherefore Art Thou, Romeo? That's her.
That is her.
Is that really?
It's totally her.
Oh, my God. Gosh, you're blowing my mind right
now.
That's huge.
Yeah.
No idea.
I love it. It's because I definitely went through Wizard of Oz phase in middle school.
Who didn't? It's an incredible film. And
well, yes.
Also,
I'm gay, but yeah.
Well.
That does come with the territory. But I just remember learning that. And I was like, wow, you're taking two of my favorite films and overlapping it.
I'm shook right now.
Now, here's something else that I learned in kind of doing some research. In the early 1990s, when the Snow White Grotto was refurbished at Disneyland, she re-recorded I'm Wishing at the age of 75. Isn't that nuts?
So wait, so that recording that then ended up using at Disneyland was 75-year-old version of her?
Yes.
Oh, man. That's incredible.
I love it.
Yeah.
She only recently passed away.
Wow.
But she's my hero.
It's time for some tough choices. Let's play Tweedledee or Tweedledum.
Here is Tweedledee or Tweedledum. I'm going to give you two options, and you just tell me which one you prefer.
Go.
First one, Tweedledee or Tweedledum, Han Solo or Luke Skywalker?
Han Solo.
Wow. No hesitation.
None.
Okay. Teacups or Dumbo?
Dumbo.
Wow, classic. Both original attractions.
Both original attractions. Teacups are, teacups are like, you got to start that timer, and it's fun for exactly the length of time that it goes.
Yeah.
Anything beyond that, gets
are
a
you a spinner, or do you just like sit and enjoy the ride?
Absolutely spin.
Yeah.
Absolutely spin.
Do you like, while you're waiting in the queue, do you look and be like, I think the purple teacup is the fast one?
I do. I do try to, like, you know, because you can make a break for it. You get in there and you can.
Definitely.
You go for the good one.
Tweedledee or Tweedledum, Dole Whips or Churros?
Ooh, that's a good. I love churros. Those churros are so tasty. But Dole Whip is also very good. And apparently Disney has released the recipe for the Dole Whips.
They have.
Which I have not yet tried, but I'm about to.
I know what you're doing tonight.
Yeah, maybe it's. Yeah, that's
you're
a good
watching
call.
Wizard of Oz. You're watching Wizard of Oz and having Dole Whips.
Spotting that voice.
Okay, final Tweedledee or Tweedledum. The Enchanted Tiki Room or Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln?
Oh, Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln.
Nice.
Although the song from the Tiki Room, the Sherman Brothers.
The Sherman Brothers did no wrong in their life.
Yeah, and also wrote the most catchy songs in the history of Americana. I mean, between It's a Small World, the entirety of Mary Poppins, the Tiki Room, all that stuff from Jungle Book.
Everything. I got to meet Richard, I believe Richard, in L.A. after an opening, and he's not necessarily recognizable, but of course I was like, oh my gosh. And yeah. I think all I could muster up to say was, thank you for the soundtrack to my childhood.
Hmm.
Because, I mean...
When you meet was he like, get away from me, kid!
No, he was so sweet.
Yeah, yeah!
Like smoking, just like mad at me. Because you played a prince at Disney, we've got the Princes of Disney quiz.
Oh. I don't know how good I'm going to do at this one.
I think you're going to do one of the ones you actually already answered for me throughout this podcast. Okay. So you're going to do great.
Bring it.
Okay, Drew, here's your first question, and it's a multiple choice answer. So I'll read you the question and all the answers after that. First one, you played the prince to Snow White. What is his real name? A, Prince Flounder. B, Prince Florian, or C, Prince Frederick?
It's B, Prince Florian.
You are correct. I'll edit in a sound of like bells. It'll be great. Yeah. Okay.
So good.
In Aladdin, Prince Ali enters with a huge parade with many compliments thrown his way. The parade tells everyone to do what for Prince Ali? A, step aside. B, send praise, or C, make way.
Make way.
Yeah, duh.
For Prince Ali. Come on.
Yeah, there it
Come
is.
Come on.
You have to sing it. That's the only way.
God, that movie holds up. It's just so good.
I mean, do you remember, though, as children of the 80s and 90s, as we were, when the original soundtrack came out and they had a lyric that then was changed?
Oh, yeah. Where they... Can we say that?
I don't know. I'll beep it out or something.
Okay. Yeah.
But I remember as a kid being like, oh, that was my first indication of like how the world can change.
Also, it was right out of the gate. It was it's like the first line in the film.
Yeah. Third question for the Princes of Disney quiz.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to nail this one. I know it. What is the name of the prince in Sleeping Beauty? Is it A, Prince Philip? B, Prince Pomander, or C, Prince Patrick?
It's Prince Philip.
Of course it is. But the follow-up, what is the name of the horse?
Oh, gosh. I can see him.
Mm-hmm. It's a biblical name.
Is it like Isaiah or something?
No, that's Guys and Dolls.
Oh, gosh. His name is... Oh, man. We're going with Ezekiel.
It's not Ezekiel. It's actually Samson.
Samson. Oh, that's right. I was Samsonite. I was way off.
Yeah, yeah. The original choice was Mordecai, and then they changed it to Samson.
Too dark.
Too dark. Question number four. What kind of dog is Max, Prince Eric's dog? A, a terrier. B, a sheepdog. Or C, a golden retriever?
He's B, a sheepdog.
Yes, he is.
He's got to blow that hair out of his face.
Yeah, no kidding. You are 4 for 4.
I mean, except for the follow-up on the horse, even though he's my favorite prince. I'm feeling a little bummed about that, but that's okay.
Extra credit. You're okay.
Oof.
Okay, final question for the Princes of Disney quiz.
Oh, can't wait.
Which Broadway actor voiced Prince Hans in Frozen? Is it A, Santino Fontana, B, Will Swenson, or C, Harvey Fierstein?
Hmm. Although Harvey would have been the obvious choice, and Swenson would have been the evil choice. I think the actual correct answer here is A, Santino Fontana.
You're right.
Yeah, it's so funny. We kind of moved to New York at exactly the same time, and it still blows my mind that he is a Disney villain and a Disney prince, all at the same time.
Is that the first Disney prince who's a villain?
I think so. Right? Everybody else is either an eligible bachelor or. And I guess Quasimodo isn't really a prince.
Here's a bold thought. Is Mufasa the king, would that make Scar a prince?
Yes.
Maybe? I don't know how the royalty works at Pride Rock.
That's true. Yeah, I think so. But then he becomes the king, so he's the evil? He's an evil king, right?
But when Mufasa's alive, Scar is evil, and he's a prince.
Prince Scar. Yeah, I guess so. Technically, if you're the brother of the king... or queen, you are a prince, correct?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, because Queen Elizabeth's sister is Princess Margaret, right?
I don't know the answer to that. If it's not from Disney Parks or Broadway, I don't know.
I'm thinking the crown. Oh, the crown. Okay, the crown. Oh, yeah, I got that.
You did incredibly well, Drew. Good job. 5 out of 5.
I'm really impressed with my trivial knowledge here.
Drew, what's the first thing you're going to do the next time you go to the parks?
I really, really want to ride Rise of the Resistance.
I knew you would say that. That's a great answer.
I really want to. But also, I the first night that I'm there, we've been doing this thing where I have a 6-year-old daughter, and my girlfriend and I like to load her into the laundry basket and watch virtual rides which, as you know, does not anywhere come close to measuring up to the actual live experience. But, you know, sometimes you take what you can get when you really need your hankering for Disney. But I watched the new fireworks show at the Magic Kingdom, and it is 10 out of 10 amazing. 10 out of 10. So I have to go to that, and I have to have a good seat. That's key. You got to be able to see. Last time we were there, I saw the Main Street Electrical Parade, which really crushed it.
Yeah, totally.
But fireworks. I need some fireworks right now.
Have you brought your daughter Annie to the parks?
I have. She has been to Disneyland with her mom once. No, actually twice. And but for Christmas this past year, or actually the year before, Santa brought a letter. And surprised us with a trip to Disney World. So just her and I. So we go down and we stayed at the Grand Floridian, which at Christmas time they decorate incredibly with like a life-size gingerbread house. And we blasted through and rode every ride and hit all the parks miraculously. And this is before Galaxy's Edge had even opened. And it just... blew her and my minds at the same time. And it's the only place that has the power to be just... She's obsessed with princesses. I mean, all she wants to do is dress up in her Elsa outfit and then her Anna outfit. And we're just super... Now with the live action versions of the films coming out, I'm totally a purist, but I've never said no to anything. So it's great to be able to kind of give her the experience of you know, getting to take in these amazing works on our own time, and with Disney Plus, that's suddenly possible to not only watch the features but those tiny little animated shorts that we remember from when we were kids too. that you used to really only be able to have access to when you were at the parks and you could watch it on like the park channel. So I'm a fan for life. She's a fan for life. We're, you know, I can't ever imagine a time when that's not where I'm going to run the minute I can.
Drew, thank you so much for chatting with me today about Disney parks and Star Wars and your job in Snow White, an enchanting musical.
Can't believe it.
You were wonderful, and the trivia was great too.
Ah, nice. Thank you. You're a wonderful host, and thanks so much for having me on the podcast. And,
of course.
I really look forward to hearing who else you get to talk to and what other amazing stories come out of this.
Yeah, cool. Well, we'll see you at the parks.
Cheers.
Be swell. You'll be great. Gonna have the whole world on a plate.
I think I should have been interviewed on this episode.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.